Welcome to today's Journal Club webinar. This is the third in our spring series and a little different format today because we are recording the presentation prior to the original broadcast date because our presenter is actually in Taiwan and we are very happy that she's taken the time to present to us today. My name is Rachel Dager. I'm the Executive Director at the Society for Nutrition Education and Behavior. And when you received this recording link, you should have also received the link to the handout material, a link to do a follow-up survey after you've viewed the webinar. And if you'd like a CEU credit for watching the webinar today, the email that you received will have the instructions about contacting the SNEB office so we can send that certificate to you. So our moderator today is Virginia Quick. She's the Assistant Research Professor at Rutgers University.
Great. Thank you, Rachel. And it's a pleasure to have with us today Dr. Angela Liu. She received her doctorate in nutritional sciences with emphasis in community nutrition at Cornell University. And her research has focused on nutrition educators' use of PSE strategies in their communities. And since graduating from Cornell, Dr. Liu has worked for a nonprofit organization in Taiwan on government-supported programs that focus on changing food policies and environments. And it's a pleasure to have her today with us to talk about some of her work that she's done. It is called A Framework to Assess Community Nutritionists' Use of Environmental Strategies to Prevent Obesity. So I'll let Dr. Angela Liu take it over from here.
Thank you for the opportunity for inviting me to this webinar. It's my pleasure to be able to share my doctoral work. Initially, I had planned to just talk about the framework that we developed in this study, but that would be quite limited. So today, we will definitely go beyond that. To give you some little bit of background information, how I started doing this work, it actually took place in 2009. At that time, my professor, Dr. Dollaheit, was focused on the PSE-focused program project back then. And so at that time, we were really interested in finding out how a group of nutritionists, who are actually the nutrition managers who were in charge of the SNAPED education program at Cornell Cooperative Extension in New York State, and what they were doing, what they thought about doing this work. And as you notice, that initially we call them environmental strategies, but nowadays we understand that they're called PSE strategies, policy systems, and environmental strategies, which is the formal term I will use in the rest of this presentation. A little bit background, back then we were interested in this study because we know that for this group of nutrition educators and managers, they were still more involved in direct nutrition education program. But as a result of Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act of 2010 led to some changes in SNAPED program and also some changes in the NEFA strategic plan. This motivated these managers and educators to extend beyond their work, beyond direct nutrition education, and really to get involved in PSE strategies. The objectives for this study, actually for my presentation today, and also for my study itself, was to understand how PSE strategies was defined through our work. Next, we identify factors related to these educators' use of PSE strategies. And thirdly, we were to determine some ways to get them started in doing this work, because keep in mind that for them back then, it was something new. This slide shows the socio-ecological model that I had shown the educators when they took the survey. I define the environments broadly as the context and factors external to individuals, but knowing that some of their work had taken on a household level and in the home environment, we specifically tried to delve further on the organizational and also the community level. And we also kept in mind the definition from other researchers to not only focus on the physical environment, but also social, cultural, economic, or the policy environment. Okay, in terms of methods, this was a cross-sectional mixed methods study. It took place Cooperative Extension in New York. We first conducted in-depth interviews with a purposeful sample of seven NEs, nutrition educators, and we selected them based on these two dimensions, whether or not they worked in a whether they worked in a rural or urban area, and also the extent of their involvement, whether they were more focused on doing direct nutrition education or whether they were already involved in doing some PSE work. The semi-structured interviews, we had two of them per educator, and each of them lasted 1 to 2 hours. Content of our interview is really free. I asked them to describe their work, talk about their views toward the obesity problem back then, also what they were doing very specifically on the PSE, on the PSE levels, and what they were doing to address obesity, especially on the organizational and also the community levels that I mentioned. And in their work while doing this, what were some of the resources? What helped them doing to do this work, and what some of the barriers and challenges they faced in doing this work? So qualitatively, in addition to these interviews, I also attended multiple meetings with them, whether within their organization or with their community partners, and also looked at some of the documents we had on hand, the county plan, and for example, their job description. So the quantitative part of this study was the extensive survey that I had developed. That we were able to receive 100% response rates from all of the managers in CCE, or Cornell Cooperative Extension. Our interview content was actually came from the qualitative interviews and also referring to past research in nutrition and organizational behavior. We used existing scales when they were possible and fit our study, but we also created various scales with multiple items from the educators' words. Look, this was the two-part survey. First one was their background information containing items about what they believe to be causes of obesity, other job-related characteristics, like what they, how they networked in their community, how they saw their persistence in doing their work, and also their desire to want to do more in their work, because using these PSE strategies was considered something beyond what they were what they were doing at that time. Part two of the survey was based on the theory of planned behavior. So there were some constructs, including the behavior itself was use of PSE strategies. Supervisors' behavior was about their perceived control, something, maybe a factor that helped them to do PSE work, and also other job information, including tenures, programs managed, what they believe to be the available resources, and the amount of the support or barriers they perceived, and also some background information. This was the data analysis methods for the qualitative and quantitative portions of my study, which I will share later in the data. Okay, some of the results we got. Quite a few numbers here, but let's focus on some respondent characters as an overview. So in terms of this group of managers, mostly were female, over the age of 35, all the way up to beyond 56 years old. Degree, they had most of them had master's degree. Some were registered dietitians. Some of the programs, all of them managed the SNAP-ED program. Very few back then were involved in the PSE-focused program. And the amount of time they had spent doing PSE work was very limited, mostly under 5 hours per week. They had been in the current job about 6 to 7 years, and the number of staff they managed was about 7 to 11. Okay, so in answering objective one, looking at some of the data we got in this study. In this work, we defined strategy based on two dimensions, including settings and tasks. And in settings that we identified, because the PSE-focused project that Dr. Dahlheit worked at that time included worksite wellness piece. So one of the settings was NE's own workplaces, and they could extend that idea to other organizations they were working with in their community. Two, we defined organizations as those serving adults. Three were kids, schools, youth serving agencies. Four, we knew that back then most of them were, actually many of them were involved in community groups with their partners in doing some of these community change work. Looking at the same use of strategies, quantitatively we see that 76.75% of them were involved in community work. And in these own settings, serving adults and school agencies, about half of them were doing this job. But looking at this slide, we see that it doesn't indicate the specific level of involvement in each of these settings. This slide just tells you that they actually worked in these settings, but what about how much they worked in each of these settings? This leads to our next dimension, which are the tasks. This list actually...
Angela, this is Rachel. The sound has gotten a little soft. Are you able to...
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, that's much better. Thank you.
It's better. Okay. Okay, so should I start?
No, you're fine. You're fine to continue from this slide.
Okay. All right. So these seven tasks were derived from interviews with educators who were more actively involved in PSE change work, and they identified tasks 2, 6, and 7 as those most directly embodied PSE work and clearly illustrated increasing intensity of engagement in working towards PSE changes. Here you see, in addition to the networking, identifying influential people, communicating, negotiating with them, we actually selected 2, 6, and 7 and made them into the task 1, 2, and 3 that we subsequently used in our survey, which I will explain later. So this slide was taken directly from the paper that was published in the JNEB. If we focus just on those, the tasks that the nutrition educators most often or almost always did, we could see that task 1, making recommendations and providing information, was the one that most of them spent most time doing. It was perhaps the simplest for them to be able to do at that time. So here you see in setting 1, shared information. And as we got more intense, fewer of them were developing an implementing plan and also evaluating and monitoring their progress. In setting 4, we can see this is providing information. But here, this is when they were supporting their other partners' work. This one here, working in the community, is actually about them taking the leadership role and coming up with a PSC change project for their community members. So this, again, is a table taken from a paper. And you can see that here's dimension 1, the settings, and these are the tasks, 1, 2, 3. You can take a little bit more time on your own to see what the questions were. But the important thing in this table, in this slide, is how we calculated the nutrition educators' use of PSE strategies. So here are the 4 settings and 4 tasks. We allocated 1 point to task 1, 2 points for task 2, 3 points for task 3. So in terms to allocate it's a weighted point allocated to each task based on their level of intensity of engagement and actually difficulty too. And then we'd multiply that by 4 settings, and then average use of PSE strategy score we derived in this group of nutrition educators was actually 60. And it was at a possible range of 24 to 120. So a 24, you can imagine that it's probably a nutrition educator who often spent time just making recommendations and providing information to their partners, as opposed to spending more time developing the PSE plan or doing monitoring. So somebody with a score in hundreds, that means they were doing the more difficult work, or they were more ahead in using these PSE strategies and actually into evaluating their project and their progress. Okay, this leads to the regression and some of the information we got from our bootstrapping methods. This is to answer what were some of the barriers, facilitators that had that were associated with these nutrition educators' use of PSE strategies. This was the conceptual model that guided my research. I must explain a little bit that we had adapted the theory of planned behavior to better suit our population and research purpose. Our goal, along with this, the purpose of this presentation, it's not so heavily based in research, but it was more about how we could use this model and how my research could help us in practice. So our goal was not to test the theory per se, but to use it as a guide to frame the barriers and facilitators related to educators' use of PSE strategies. And we also focused on current reported behavior instead of intentions, because intention does not always translate into behavior. And also in the context of these managers' work, it was more difficult because so much of what they did was based on what funding they had. And the other thing was that some managers were already using PSE strategies. So we focused on their current reported use of current strategies. Here you see, based on the theory of planned behavior, the set of background factors that we looked at included their tenure, hours worked per week, as you saw earlier, and their job-related characteristics here, and obesity beliefs. And in the middle, we see the constructs of attitude toward using these strategies, but other people, whether their colleagues, their supervisors, their funders, or their agency partners, thought they should be doing and using strategies. And also their perceived control in using the strategies, and finally the behavior was the reported use of PSE strategies itself. Let's see, for this part of the study, we ran the regression. We identified what were the significant variables and put them in a complicated model. And I kept the ones that were significant and present them here. So this is some background information about their personal characteristics related to their work in terms of their level of their persistence, their desire to want to do more in their job, and also their extent of their networking in their communities. So in terms of their belief about obesity, okay. Respondents rated their environmental factors like the availability of fatty and sugary foods and power of media here higher than individual level factors such as metabolism or their willpower as factors that contribute to obesity. So they did believe that it was environment issues that were related to the epidemic rather than the personal level problem. And their attitude toward using these strategies was actually rated pretty high. This was on the -3 to +3 scale. So they slightly agreed to agree that using strategies was the right thing to do. So this was the other people's expectations for the educators. You can see that what funders said was really important, along with what their supervisors thought. Less important were what their colleagues were asking them to do and what their partners were asking them to do in terms of their involvement in PSE work. This is really interesting from our qualitative data. It was evident that supervisor support was important, but it varied quite a bit. Some supervisors would say that, oh, it's a great idea, you go for it. But that was it, giving them blessing. But then some other supervisors would actually provide instrumental support, which means really getting the nutrition managers help, giving to find funding to do this work, whether through their networking or actually participating in the grant writing process. This, we get down to the perceived control, which was the availability of resources to use these strategies. they slightly agree that they were available to them. And so on their knowledge and skills toward using PSE strategies was slightly adequate. So on these personal level factors were more adequate than these external ones, their supervisor support, agency providing resources, or whether they perceive the community to be ready to do PSE change work. Okay, this empirical model was actually what we derived from the regression analysis. It's a little bit complex, but there's a very important couple of important things I want to share with you here. So these are highlighted in red. First one is that we found that networking was an essential variable that moderated multiple pathways, including the direct association of number of staff managed. Here you see right here. So networking itself was associated with use of PSE strategies. It moderated this pathway here, number of staff managed. And whether or not the community was ready and the manager's use of PSE strategies. And also the mediated pathway through other people's expectations of them. What this means was that when we did the bootstrapping analysis, it led to an understanding that the effect of networking was only significant. And actually having a supportive community at moderate levels. Sorry, let's go back. So this level of networking meant that if we were measuring networking on a scale of 1 to 7, nutrition educated needed to score at least a 5 in order for them to actually motivate them to actually use of these PSE strategies. So these educators actually needed to rate having good relationships with their partners and having a supportive community network for their program that they were actually motivated to use these strategies. And in our study, we also found that high networking managers, they tend to work longer hours, they had more staff, and they spent more time on tasks for PSE change. So in this case, they probably perceived their community to be more ready, and they were able to find more partners who were excited about using these strategies and actually be able to make that work happen. But on the other hand, we actually had managers who had very low networking. They were likely to be part-time managers and supervise fewer staff, which meant that they probably didn't have enough time to go out there in the community to really get to their partner, get to know their partners in order to find those interested in doing this work. And the second point I wanted to make in this model was this red arrow you see right here from others' expectations going backwards to receiving funds for doing this work. This case was that one manager worked in a community that was really supportive of each other's work. And in that group, other people expected the manager to participate in their project to apply for funds that allow them to further do this PSE work. This is important because, as I said, my study is cross-sectional, so we have to keep an open mind about arrows going in the other direction instead of these findings being causal. Okay, objective 3, the purpose of this part was to share with you more qualitative data, what the nutrition educators said directly about doing this work in their work setting. And so these were words from managers or also interpretations of what we learned from them. This slide says one leads to another, which means that the way nutrition educators got involved in PSE work was really through existing relationships. Whether the relationship was on their own or was through their staff, their colleagues, or even supervisors. To give you an example, this one manager got involved in working with a faith-based organization as a result of their director's connection with the local educational institution. So this meant having one relationship leads to another. You never know how complicated the network could be, but among all of them, you can probably find a lead to get you started in doing this work. And as part of that relationship, this manager actually started working with that the faith-based organization with Direct Nutrition Education first, but eventually they extended that work to working with the deacons and the cooks of that church to improve the nutrition of the food they serve. So it moves from Direct Nutrition Education work into a PSE change work. So that was often how things would evolve. So another example here was where a manager started the work by conducting a key informant survey in the community to capture the landscape of what was going on with people doing obesity prevention work. And from that assessment itself, she learned that there was already common ground about obesity being an issue in their community and that needed to be addressed. And the manager then was able to reach out to those interested agencies to find out what more they wanted to do together. So this was another way that was very successful in extending this manager's work. So another idea in terms of how to get involved in doing PSE work was this take a systems perspective. This term actually came from one of our nutrition managers. This perspective meant that it was something more holistic. It's more in depth and in breadth, and it's beyond the here and now. And since doing PSE work means working on multiple levels of socio-ecological continuum with multiple partners, and so it's very suitable for our managers to be able to see things this way. Here we take a look at what this manager said about in terms of nutrition behaviors. This manager was involved in that PSE focus program. It has changed our mindset and the way we approach problems. So on a systems perspective, we already changed how we look at the world and how we interpret. We're now including the context of that family's life and the whole community in which they live. So it really took her beyond the here and now about how she was able to see why people ate the way they did and really find the problem within the community. Excuse me. And this is the perspective that also applies to the way nutrition educators collaborate with others and really get to know their partners well in order to know what they can do in this work together. So although I personally am in a position to determine program directions, staffing, resource utilization independently, I feel it is important to consider the reaches and limitations of my organization, collaborators, staff, funders, and clients in decisions. So sometimes it might be very obvious upon seeing this quote, it might be obvious. Of course, we need to consider other people's views, but actually in doing their work, the managers really had to make that come to the surface and really take a mindful step in identifying what these problems actually were. So thirdly, it's also about where your program is and where others are within the county. Again, a similar view. What I'd need then is a better view of the county, a view that was comprehensive enough. So again, about being holistic. I need input from many different stakeholders and the help of the staff I work with here, the WIC and the Head Start. So these two quotes you saw previously really corroborate with other researchers' ideas, seeing community as a unit of identity and taking time to understand the unique needs, resources, and strength that exists out there. So the bottom line is that there's so much out there in the community, and nutrition educators really need that time to explore and find out where the key points are, where the key people are, to be able to do this work well. So this one, it's called Make Small Incremental Changes. I personally like this one the most. From my interviews, it seemed like that some managers, actually quite a few of these managers, tend to think really big about doing PSE change. They really want to go out there, but it's some daunting task that where they would need extra funding for support. They want to go out there and start a obesity coalition, get everybody on board and stuff like that. Partly that is true. I mean, in an ideal situation, maybe. But I also learned that some managers without extra funding, because not many of them back then had funds specifically to allocate for a PSC change, but those without funds were still able to do this work. Here you see some things like revising menus, changing just one snack at a time, very small, providing healthy recipes. A lot of people are probably doing this already. But the problem is sometimes the managers didn't view this to be their job. So it actually goes back to actually how they see their job and what their responsibilities were in order for them to see if they were to be involved in the PSC change project. And this one highlighted in red was my favorite. Let's see. This manager actually at an event served apples and donuts at the same time. I would guess that people would choose the donuts. But then at that instant, the manager actually noticed that whatever was left over were the boxes of donuts in the end. At the end of the day, people took the apples and left the donuts. So what would you know? Just provide the healthy food and people, you will catch things happening. That was so unexpected for the nutrition educator. So she said, this whole institutional change is catching me in places I never anticipated it. I always think like we're going to do something big, you know? I'm going to make this really major, but the way we've done it has snuck in lots of different ways. So it's also about brainstorming to come up with ideas wherever food is provided, wherever there's physical activity. How do we insert these little things along the way, and eventually that will turn into something big in the end. So this slide talks about the difference between doing existing direct nutrition education work and working towards PSC changes. It comes back to basic management, identifying the partners, going for the mutual benefits. So I don't think the skills are anything new, but applying them in this arena is new. The buzzword PSC changes, just really understand what that meant, took a while. But at least we know the manager's will is out there. They could do more. It's a matter of time. Because I said networking took a lot of their time in their work. And this slide shows that miracles do happen, but we still have to be ready for them. In order to do PSC work, they needed to reach out to the organizations in their communities and network with them. Not just, you know, sitting around and chit-chatting, but actually getting to know the community, getting to know the partners' needs, what projects they were doing, and really build that and strengthening their relationships out there. It's about being in the right place at the right time. Thank you. If you have any questions about my study, I flew through it quite fast, but we are all, I'm always here to answer your questions, if any.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Liu, for a lovely presentation. I actually do have some questions for you. And I know that anybody listening in on this webinar, when it's going to be recorded, but they're more than welcome, and I appreciate you having them to be able to reach out to you and supplying your email. So one of my questions for you, so if I am correct, were the interviews and the surveys, were they only conducted in New York, and only the New York Cooperative Extension?
Right. This was totally a study done in Cornell Cooperative Extension in New York State back in 2009.
Do you think you may have gotten different results if they were in other states and other cooperative extensions?
As far as I know, back then, from my working with my professor, we understand that we had started doing PSC work quite early back then. Mm-hmm. So I, in terms of the score or the extent these nutrition managers were doing PSC work, a score of 60 out of 120 probably would be a little higher than other states where they hadn't started doing PSC change work. But I do understand that my professor and Christina Stark, they have another study out there. I think it's in a public journal. What's that? Public Health nutrition journal about using part of the scale and doing a very similar study. So I think their data might be different from what I received here, what we received here.
And it could be also, if it's a recently newly published article that your colleagues have done, I'm wondering if it's also because a lot of more United States or inquiry extensions are using the PSCs and have been kind of adopting them as part of their program.
Right.
So, great.
We did it early in 2009, and yeah. Since the change in SNAP-Ed and FNAP requirements have changed over time since 2014, I think if we were to conduct a study again, the scores would be much higher, I believe.
Yeah, it would be interesting to do that, just as a follow-up to see if they've changed.
Right. I can certainly share my survey with others who are interested. We could do another survey again.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Thanks. Yeah, and I was curious about the surveys. You had mentioned that you used a number of different scales. Do you remember what type of scales were used that assessed the use of PSCs?
The survey scales related to use of PSC strategies, those I came up with through our interviews with the educators. The existing scales were actually more in the field of organizational behavior. Back then, that was my minor at Cornell. Because I wanted to understand these educators' mindset, their attitude toward their work in general. So, for example, you saw the desire to do more. That was one of the variables, the desire to wanting to do more in their project, or their persistence in doing their work, you know, just hanging there, spending more time, having more patience, hanging there. That actually was, there were some existing questions from existing scales. I think that's actually called proactive behavior.
Okay, great. Also, I was kind of curious why you chose to use a theory of planned behavior versus maybe some other health behavior models. I don't know if you have any input as to why you chose that model specifically.
Looking through literature and considering that my work actually was not exactly about health and nutrition. It was more about, like I said, the organizational behavior aspect of my studies. So in looking through literature, I have found similar uses of the theory of planned behavior in the management setting. So I felt more confident in adapting the theory of planned behavior and using that. But keep in mind that the TPB theory of planned behavior is not the easiest theory to use. And I think that was one reason for why my survey was so extensive. It actually contained about 250 some questions. Just trying to use the theory thoroughly, as others have used it in other studies. But in the end, we actually extracted portions from the questions and not use them all in our analyses.
Okay. Now, was this an online survey?
That's interesting. We did it face-to-face, and it was during one of our semi-annual meetings with the nutrition managers. So I think back then 50 of the managers were present at the meeting, so we allocated an hour-long session for them to fill out the survey. And those who did not participate at our meeting, we had sent the surveys to them.
Oh, okay. So while they were at the meeting, you had handed them, it was like a paper-pencil survey that they filled out?
Right, paper and pencil. Right.
Okay, yeah. I was just wondering, since you had, I think there was about 58, you said, total that completed the surveys?
Right, we only had 58 managers back then in New York.
Yeah. Do you think you would have maybe had, I don't know, I'm just kind of thinking if it was an online survey or one that could be easily kind of done whenever, you might have been able to get more participants.
Sure, I think that would be possible if we could distribute this survey, but it needs to be shortened quite a bit in order to send it online for all managers, perhaps around the states, to fill them and to get to capture a national, you know, sample. Right, I think that would work too.
How long did it take participants to complete the survey?
Oh, we gave them an hour. So most of them, nearly everybody finished in an hour, and some people got really tired, I must say. Right.
The long survey.
I think they enjoyed this filling out the survey. I heard some comments that they learned a lot from it. But I do think that one of the limitations for the survey, because it was so long, because of the fatigue, and also as they were filling out the survey, they actually realized that, wow, I'm doing some environmental change work. So it was through taking the survey that they went back and had to change their answers, because later they found that they were actually doing that work.
Okay, so they kind of learned from the survey.
But I just think that this kind of study, it's very broad. So it was really hard to capture everybody's thoughts about what they were doing in PSC work. And it just varied so much how people would define environment. And if we were to add in the socio-ecological perspective, where there are so many levels of work and so many partners, it was hard for them to think really comprehensively in that 1 hour session.
So in doing the PSEs, you know, I've heard through other nutrition educators, just anecdotally, that they run into the problem of knowing how to evaluate the PSEs. Did anything come across when you were talking, either through your qualitative, your interviews, or just when they were putting up the surveys, anything along those lines?
Right. Along the lines of how we came up with those three tasks, with the third one being monitoring and evaluating their progress, it was through interviews where I asked them to define exactly what they were doing with their partners. They would tell me that, oh yes, we implemented this already, and now we are checking with them to see how people are doing. So monitoring and evaluating is a very, it's a very academic term, I think. From the answers from these educators, it was more through chatting, like, oh, about at what stage of work are you with your partner? So they did not go into details in talking about what evaluation tools they were using, but more in general that they were, that they had done something with this group, and now they're checking with them to evaluate how far along we are doing. So it's a little bit, if we're to put it in a research term, it's more like process evaluation for them.
Okay.
Just checking in to see what their partners were doing, how far along they were in checking what they had planned to do. It's for me, it's more about their process evaluation.
Gotcha. Okay. All right, so one of my last questions, I was wondering what you would say to a nutrition educator that maybe doesn't have necessarily the greatest support from their supervisor or agency provider to give them the resources. I don't know what your thoughts are based on some of the results that you have found.
Right. I guess the simple idea is that what can they do solely on their own. You're right. Doing PSC change work really needs the support of everybody, whether they're supervisors, their community partners, even their staff, their extension director, everybody who's involved in their work directly. But at times, we did have managers who felt really alone. And mm-hmm. for them, I would say, just going back to the third objective of my presentation today, to really take a hard look in great detail of all the relationships they have on hand. That relationship might be just a parent, might be some existing partner, maybe they're not working on that level already, or who's not very supportive yet, but really keep at it. Introducing them to those partners, their people, and start talking about what PSE changes are. And realizing that we don't need to go out there in the community and start a whole coalition on doing PSE change work, but just sneaking in a box of a basket of apples, you know, a basket of fruit here and there, or if there's some child serving agency to say, oh, can we change this to that? So these are some of the things that managers were already doing. But again, some of the work, the managers actually have to see that, yes, you are required to do this work. You need to be proactive and go out there and then ask for support. So like when I presented the supervisor's behaviors, supervisor's support, one manager actually said, you know, it's not about sitting there and waiting for them to come and support you. You need to educate them. You know, talk about PSE change work and let your supervisor know, let your partners know that this is the right thing to do, that the obesity prevention effort cannot be successful until we change the environment surrounding these audience that we're serving right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great takeaway message, you know, network and try to get as many relationships as you can to get them on board. So great. So again, thank you again, Dr. Liu, for a lovely presentation. And I think I'm going to let Rachel kind of close out today's session for us.
Yeah, excellent. Thank you. So just a reminder, the email that you received with the recording will have the link to the handout as well as instructions for receiving your CEU certificate. If you have downloaded this presentation from the website and would like to receive your CEU certificate, simply send an email to the SNEB office, which is info@sneb.org. And just a reminder, some other webinars coming up on the schedule. Journal Club will not meet again until March 6th, but there's a March 3rd webinar on written communication messaging matters with Dr. Howard Moskowitz, and also an advocacy webinar, Time is Right for Strong Advocacy on Capitol Hill, that the Advisory Committee on Public Policy is organizing on March 15th. So we encourage you to attend those other SNEB webinars as well. Thank you.
Thank you.